Hi, this is Anne Merchant, and welcome to The Sounds of Science, the podcast brought to you by the National Academy of Sciences, the National Academy of Engineering, the Institute of Medicine, and the National Research Council, collectively known as the National Academies. It might be supposed that a hungry continent would exploit all its available food plants to the fullest, but in Africa's case, that just isn't so. The region below the Sahara is home to hundreds of contributors to the food supply, almost none of which is currently accorded scientific support, official promotion, or inclusion in development schemes. In the beginning, Africa's edibles fed humanity. The earliest emigrants out of Africa, long before agriculture, found new foods on their journeys, but at home, there was a contraction of agrodiversity as farming increasingly focused attention on those plants most practical as mass suppliers of food in the greatest number of places. Still in all, for many thousands of years, hundreds of wild and, in time, cultivated native species complemented each other to comprise the core of the continental food supply. Then, before recorded history, a pivotal plant migration began as a few Asian foods wended westward to become new links in the African food chain. Sorghum and others took the return route from Africa. They arrived partly thanks to increasing trade between India and Africa's eastern seaboard, as well as overland, and perhaps even through surprising long-distance connections between Madagascar and today's Indonesia. Exotic species from Asia, most notably rice, bananas, and sugarcane, began contributing more and more to life below the Sahara. Yet many Africans remained largely dependent on traditional food plants until about 5 centuries ago, when adventurers and slavers sailing the western seaboard introduced a collection of American crops. These additions notably included maize, cassava, peanut, sweet potato, tomato, common bean, chili peppers, and pumpkin. As is common with non-native plants, the new arrivals tended toward robust and productive growth, and subsequent centuries saw them spread across Africa as farmers integrated these helpful adjuncts into their age-old livelihood strategies. That inevitably meant that more of the traditional contributors fell away from the food supply and the minimization process proceeded. During the colonial era, the process of discarding indigenous crops gained further momentum as the official focus shifted to those familiar crops of mercantile interest, such as cane, chocolate, coffee, cotton, and other durable, transportable, and valuable crops of that sort. Indeed, during those times, subsistence crops were almost entirely neglected in organized agriculture, while valuable exportable cash crops were cultured, harvested, graded, and protected against rodents, insects, and decay with exceptional efficiency and dispatch. And an end result of these historical trends was that most of Africa's food these days comes from a mere 20 or so species, almost all of which are from foreign extraction. Within the huge mass of land below the Sahara Desert in Africa, there are several thousand native plant species that are already recognized to be good food sources, but that just don't receive adequate scientific or institutional support. Many of these crops are considered to be exceptionally nutritious and have been feeding people since the beginning of time, thriving in the harsh conditions that confront Africans every day. As the source of life for thousands of communities in desperate need of help, the lack of research attention directed at these crops is especially disappointing. Such neglected foods are often called the lost crops of Africa and include hundreds of different types of vegetables. While they're well known in some places, it's mainly to scientists, policymakers, and the world at large that they remain lost. Most of these important decision makers who influence African research priorities are located in Europe and in North America. It's also important that science establishments and policymakers within African nations become aware of these crops, since many sub-Saharan countries allocate their limited agricultural research funds almost exclusively to major international crops that were introduced in the past. The National Research Council recently released the second in a series of 3 reports evaluating these underexploited African plant resources that could help broaden and secure Africa's food supply. The first volume looked at African grains, while the third will look at African fruits. This particular report is based on a questionnaire that asked Africans and Africa specialists to identify indigenous food plants with unrealized potential. 1,000 respondents replied, naming more than 300 key plants. Among the nominations were more than 50 vegetables, including tubers and legumes. The National Research Council describes the characteristics of each vegetable and assessed its potential to help overcome malnutrition, boost food security, foster rural development, and provide sustainable land care in Africa. It is hoped that by highlighting these vegetables, Africa-wide and perhaps worldwide actions will be taken to increase their production. Although the project's ultimate aim is to raise nutritional levels, diversify agriculture, and create economic opportunities in Africa, many of these crops offer untold global potential as well. By and large, vegetables supply dietary elements that are not typically provided by other foods. They're a prime source of minerals such as calcium and iron, as well as vitamin C, vitamin A, folic acid, and several of the B vitamins. Many vegetables also contain small but useful amounts of vitamin E, an antioxidant, and cellulose, important for intestinal function. The diets of many African communities are deficient in these vitamins, minerals, and other nutrients that vegetables supply, making them more susceptible to infection and disease, as well as stunted physical and mental growth. Vegetables can aid in reducing Africa's major healthcare problems due to a lack of balanced diet, especially crops like baobab, dika, moringa, and yam bean. Baobab leaves contain very high levels of provitamin A, which means they could potentially prevent millions of children from going blind. Dika offers good possibilities for lowering levels of chronic malnutrition. The kernel meal is high in oil and protein, including 6 essential amino acids, and would make an exceptional nutritional tool in West and Central Africa, where marasmus, the malnutrition caused by a lack of food energy, and kwashiorkor, the malnutrition caused by a lack of protein, are major baby killers. Moringa also has high levels of iron and calcium that make it particularly valuable for women. And finally, yam bean is beneficial to children. Nibbling on the tasty raw tubers provide a protein that they can't get easily elsewhere. For much of Africa, the possibility of a multi-year drought is real and can often lead to famine. Those living in poverty are easily affected by crop and climate fluctuations, periodic natural disasters, or human conflicts that create catastrophic conditions. It simply is not realistic to expect that relief efforts will always be successful. But fortunately, there are a number of indigenous vegetables that can fill the gaps in the dietary continuum, both in normal and abnormal conditions. Amaranth, for example, is easy to produce and grows so quickly that the first harvest can sometimes be gathered just 3 weeks after planting. Bambara bean is dependable, resilient, and reliable. It commonly yields food from sites too hot and too dry for peanuts, maize, or sorghum. Baobab keeps producing throughout the rainy season, often half the year. In addition, any surplus harvest can be dried and used later. Eggplant or garden egg is easy to grow, relatively free of disease and pests, and capable of providing a steady supply of both food and income. It's known for its capacity to furnish large amounts of food from a tiny space, and the fruits have a storage life of up to 3 months long. Lablab has a root system that penetrates into the water more than 2 meters deep, permitting growth to persist long after the rains have stopped and the surface soil has dried. Native potatoes can be dried and set aside for future use, while okra is tolerant to drought and heat. Vegetables also foster rural development. They make good cash crops since they can be sold for relatively high prices and can be produced efficiently on a small scale. This makes them excellent sources for relieving rural poverty, providing farmers with an easy entry into the world of commerce. In addition, vegetables are typically produced, sold, and prepared by women, so these crops offer good opportunities for women to make money on their own and develop their entrepreneurial skills. There are several vegetables in Africa that can help in rural development. First, amaranth is mostly grown, harvested, and marketed close to home, and it forms a crucial part of both the rural economy and female work. Eggplant, or the garden egg, has untapped commercial promise and could become the cornerstone of localized rural economic development. There's also the potential that it could be exported to Europe and North America. Egusi is in high demand in urban tropical areas, making it a valuable crop if developed appropriately. And finally, moringa seeds can help purify water and are valuable as feed for livestock. Providing sustainable land care is another feature of vegetables in Africa. Farming techniques are being discovered that help produce plentiful crops while leaving the land better off than before the crops were grown. Many of these sustainable technologies require little capital investment, making them ideal for the cash-poor African countryside. It seems likely that African vegetables will provide opportunities for more sustainable land use, in large part because they treat the land in a gentle manner. They also provide ecosystem services such as pollen and nectar for bees. Their use acts like a conservation program that helps preserve Africa's ancient heritage of food plant genes. This is important because the diversity in these crops is diminishing, and nothing is really being done to conserve them. There are some key vegetables that provide the potential for sustainable agriculture. They include the Bambara bean, which are genetically diverse, and no plant is fertilized or sprayed. The species' nitrogen-fixing capacity also helps boost soil fertility naturally. Cowpea has deep roots that help stabilize the soil, as well as dense foliage that shades and covers the surface and preserves moisture. These traits are especially important in the dry zones, where there's minimal moisture, fragile soil, and winds that move the soil around. Egusi blankets the soil and helps protect the surface from damaging wind and rain. Moringa can thrive in wastelands and provides tree cover, which makes it a good choice for reforestation projects. And shea, a self-reliant perennial species providing food in the dry savanna, offers the only tree cover across a vast area that's vulnerable to desertification. It's clear that native vegetables could help solve Africa's food crisis and boost weak rural economies. They're powerful tools for tackling many basic problems in sub-Saharan Africa, namely hunger, malnutrition, and rural poverty, and they could literally be springing from the ground. The region is home to hundreds of indigenous vegetables that have fed Africans for tens of thousands of years. Most of these plants are resilient enough to thrive in poor soil and well-suited to the small plots and limited resources of village families. These species, however, receive little or no attention from the research community. Greater efforts to explore the potential of such vegetables could lead to enhanced agricultural productivity, more stable food supplies, and higher incomes in rural areas across the continent. And despite the world's neglect of these vegetables, they are not without merit. While rates of chronic hunger have slowly declined in sub-Saharan Africa, about one-third of the region's population lacks the food necessary to meet daily requirements. Roughly the same proportion of children is malnourished, and the number of poor people continues to rise. With more support from the scientific establishment and promotion in public policy circles, native vegetables could quickly make larger socioeconomic contributions to many African nations, helping to tackle such problems. The panel on African fruits and vegetables was chaired by Norman Borlaug. More information on the Lost Crops of Africa, Volume 2, Vegetables, can be obtained from the Division on Policy and Global Affairs at the National Academies. You may contact them by calling 202-334-2425. You may also read the full text of this book free online at the National Academies Press. My name is Anne Merchant, and you've been listening to The Sounds of Science, the podcast brought to you by the National Academies, advisors to the nation on science, engineering, and medicine. Be sure to visit us at our website at nationalacademies.org, where we have more than 3,000 books and publications available full text to read free online.